Okay, I put my acknowledgement slide first because I want to make sure not to forget to acknowledge all the people that helped with this project. In particular, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Physician Faculty Scholars Program paid for this particular study. But NIDDK, NHLBI, NCI, and the VA all contributed to the development of the intervention. The hard thing about doing internet-mediated interventions is it's very expensive to develop them. The nice thing about doing physical activity research is there's lots of people who pay for it. This group of people are people who are directly involved in the project. They're all co-authors on our manuscript. There are probably about 100 other people who contributed more indirectly to the program as well. Our research team in Michigan focuses on translating the diabetes prevention program into practice. For those of you who don't know what the diabetes prevention program is by now, talk to me after the class. We focus on physical activity and we use the internet to try and keep costs low. Our intervention is called Stepping Up to Health, and we've been developing Stepping Up to Health over a number of years and a number of projects. The central focus of Stepping Up to Health is a pedometer-based walking program, and the pedometer we use is an uploading pedometer that participants can connect to their home computer through a USB cable and upload very detailed time step, step count data, which we feed back to them in a personalized homepage. With goal setting and graphical feedback about whether they met their goals or not. It's automated, it's all fully internet mediated, there's no staff involvement or contact with participants. It's tailored with personally tailored motivational messages, personally tailored goals, and feedback. This is a graph of a single participant from one of our early pilot studies with Stepping Up to Health. And what you can see is two different lines here, the blue line and the green line. This is data that comes directly off of the pedometer that we used. The top blue line is the total step count, and you can see that this particular participant started at about 2,500 steps a day on average, a pretty sedentary participant, and that day zero is the point at which the intervention began. We had between day minus 10 and day zero, the participant had a sticker over his pedometer so he couldn't see any step count feedback. And day zero, we asked him to remove the sticker and then started giving him gradually incrementing goals, tailored motivational messaging and feedback about whether they met their goals or not. And you can see they gradually increased their step counts over time. Each week as the goals increased, their step counts increased through the end. So this was one of our successful participants. The green line is actually bouts of 10 minutes of walking, so they call it aerobic steps. And you can see that this participant did no walks, no sort of intentional walks for physical activity that lasted more than 10 minutes before the intervention started, and that as they continued through the program, they started taking longer and longer walks. But the problem was that not everyone did that well in the program. About half the users actually did really well and increased their step counts, and we got statistically significant increases of about a mile a day on average. But the other half of the participants really did nothing. They didn't increase their step counts by much or they dropped out. So we turned to this concept of online communities to try and solve some of the problems of the dropout and those people who weren't really engaged in the program. Online communities allow internet users to interact about a shared passion, and we were hoping we could get them to interact about being more physically active, about walking. Some different kinds of online communities are forums, networks, listservs, and bulletin boards. And what we did was we took our Stepping Up to Health intervention and added a forum that participants could interact with each other on. Our hypothesis was that the online communities would increase the step counts of the participants, but also reduce dropout. We had a conceptual model that sort of hypothesized three separate ways that an online community participation could influence step counts by providing social support, social modeling of overcoming barriers and things like that, and also just by bringing people back by creating interesting and dynamic content that would expose them to the core self-regulation components of the pedometer-based walking program. We had some critics, some well-known public health researchers are not big fans of online communities in interventions for health. Russ Glasgow said, despite our best efforts, forums, message boards, and chat rooms are rarely used in internet-mediated interventions. And the literature really suggests that they're right, so we had to do quite a bit to make sure that our online community was actually active and was used. And we'll talk about that in methods. We did a randomized controlled trial. We used unequal randomization specifically to address the problem of making sure we had an active online community. So we randomized 70 people to Arm 1, which was the original Stepping Up to Health without an online community, and we randomized 254 participants to the Stepping Up to Health with an online community for a total of 324 participants. Our target population was high-risk patients with diabetes, coronary artery disease, or who were overweight or obese. They were not meeting current Surgeon General guidelines for physical activity. They had to be ambulatory, walking at least one block without assistance, and they were adults and they had access to a Windows-based computer. We did all fully automated remote recruitment and fully automated remote intervention delivery. There was no face-to-face contact between the research staff and participants. We initially mailed out invitation letters with a URL to people who had these diagnoses based on the University of Michigan patient database. We automated eligibility screening, informed consent randomization, surveys, and outcome assessment. We had to do rapid recruitment because we couldn't let participants dribble into the intervention or they wouldn't be able to talk to each other. So we needed them all to jump into the intervention as quickly as possible. We managed to get 324 patients in using our system in about 3 months. We mailed out their pedometers and we used email and phone-based technical support and adverse event reporting. The approximate cost per person of the intervention, if it's scaled up, is about $100. We did online seeding and feeding of the online community to try and make sure there was an active conversation. We asked all the participants to give introductions online. We had competitions for posting and gave rewards, and staff replied to all posts within 24 hours to make sure that posters knew there was somebody listening. We also posted questions, which we call seeds, to try and get the users to participate and contribute. Our results, we did have an active online community. I can't show you a lot of the messages, but here's just a couple of them briefly. One of our participants at the end says, "I would be lost without my new friend, my pedometer. I plan to keep wearing it as a reminder and incentive to continue walking. Between my Labrador spot and the pedometer, I should be successful. I've enjoyed the added incentive of daily goals and uploading to inspire me to walk. Yesterday, I participated in a 5K walk, something I never would have done before this program. I wasn't the fastest in my age group, but I wasn't the slowest either. It felt good to cross the finish line, still raring to go." This is a second post that I wanted to show you because this was an unexpected finding, was that the users started giving each other technical support, so we didn't have to work as hard. So he says, this is a post titled, "Where to Download the Manual." "I don't believe any of us received hard copies of the manual for the pedometer. It can be downloaded from the manufacturer's website, however. Here's the URL. Hope you find this helpful." And he signs himself the Walking Dude, closing in on 500,000 steps in 250 miles. Here are the step counts between ARM. This is the no online community group. Remember, there were 70 participants in this group. And this is the group that had the online community. And there were about 254 people in this group. And this is just the completers. So those who dropped out or weren't uploading data at the end are not included in this graph. And we'll talk about them in a minute. You can see the wider confidence intervals around the week-to-week means of step counts in the smaller sample size of the no online community group. That's just an artifact of the unequal randomization. Here's the change in step counts starting from the baseline week zero. We got about a 2,500 step, or a little over a mile and a quarter increase in step counts in both arms, and it was essentially identical between the two arms. So we didn't see that the online community had any effect at all on step count increase among completers, but both groups did increase their step count significantly. Here's where we saw the interesting results, though. This is a survival analysis of people who stayed in the program. And we use the time to the last pedometer upload as the time to drop out. And we found that about 13% more users were still engaged at 4 months in the people who had access to the online community versus people who didn't have access to the online community. And that was statistically significant even after controlling in a multiple regression, a Cox regression, for a number of confounders, including baseline step counts. So, we also found some support for our three hypothesized mechanisms, although the study really didn't focus on that. We found that people with lower baseline social support that they reported by survey at the beginning of the study were more likely to use the online community. We also found that the online community group tended to wear their pedometers on more days and upload more valid pedometer data, suggesting that they tended to use the core self-regulation features of the intervention more reliably if they had access to an online community. And then sort of more anecdotally, in some open-ended satisfaction questions at the end, users reported the most important part of their online community was reading other users' stories and that they motivated them to walk more. So in conclusion, online communities do work. They don't increase step counts among completers, but they do improve program retention. The effect is significant, particularly when you think about implementing these types of interventions on a very large scale. And they're probably most useful for those with low baseline social support. And that's it.
We do have some time for some questions.
You said that you had competitions for posting. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yep, we had a couple of different kinds of competitions. For instance, one competition was post your favorite snack, healthy snack. And then about 50 or 60 people posted what they eat for as a healthy snack, and we picked whichever one we thought was the best. And we put a disclaimer on all of our competitions that the research staff got to pick what we liked the best, and nobody got to argue with us, and there were no appeals. And we had a time limit on each competition, so there was a date by which they had to have their post to get to qualify. We had a second one, which was called, we called in our research group, but not actually on the website, we called the Virgin Posters Competition. So anybody who hadn't posted before could enter the competition, and if they posted, they could enter into and possibly get a prize. And there were six or seven different posting competitions that we ran to keep the community active.
So there was it wasn't a competition like, you know, who could get the most 10,000 step days in a row?
No, we
That
the competitions that we used in this particular study were mostly focused on keeping the online community active because that was the central research question in this study. In many of our other studies, we do challenges, meet your goal 5 days a week. We tend to try to keep our challenges focused on meeting goals to increase goal commitment and to allow people to participate at different levels across the board.
Yep. Question in the back.
I don't know that I can distinguish with and without. We certainly saw a huge effect of seeding and competitions, and we actually have a paper that was accepted but not yet published by JMIR on the seeding and feeding, and that has a graph, a day-by-day graph of the number of posts in it, and you can see very clearly in the bar chart of number of posts where each competition increased the posting. And then there'd be a fair amount of communication after the competitions that would gradually trickle off till we had another competition. I think when you have an online community with only 254 participants, it's hard to keep it active. Larger online communities, up to, you know, some people have said you need 5,000 people in an online community to keep it active. They were recruited from the University of Michigan patient database. All of them had to be adults, but they were basically chosen by whether or not they had diabetes, heart disease, or whether their BMI was over 25. The majority of them were women, but not all of them. About 66% were women. The majority were obese with a BMI of over 30. 22% had diabetes, and 12 or 13% had heart disease.
And what was the age?
Average age was about 56.
Oh. And ethnicity?
Mostly white, a small number of African Americans.
What were some of the common reasons that why people dropped out or
participated? Some people hate to wear the pedometer. Some people lose their internet access or can't make it work. Some people just get overwhelmed by life stressors or illness. We had a fair number of illnesses. We caused a few illnesses. One of our participants went out for a walk at 11 o'clock at night. This is in Michigan in the middle of winter. and he slipped on the ice and broke his leg in three places. So, yeah. Yes. So the reason we did it is that we wanted a big sample in the online community group in order to make an active conversation happen between participants. So it was intentionally unequal randomization. It's actually been a source of extreme difficulty for the reviewers of our primary manuscript to get over, but there's actually no bias introduced into the analysis with that unequal design. Their big concern was that you actually limit power to detect differences between the arms by doing that, and that's true. We inflated the total sample size to adjust for that, so we still had adequate power to detect differences in the end. And in fact, because we did find a statistically significant difference in retention, that demonstrates that we didn't have a type 2 error. We didn't fail to reject the null hypothesis, so. Yeah, the two groups were, it was randomized. So, and all of our analyses were, many of our analyses were regression, multiple regression analyses controlling for sex, age, and BMI, as well as baseline step counts. So they were pretty well matched across arms initially, and then we further controlled in multiple regression analysis for potential confounders.
Thank you very much. Thank you.